Thank you for downloading session 3 of the Revival Culture Conference from Elohim Christian Church. This message is brought by K Chance. Unfortunately, the beginning of the message is missing from this recording.
Because he knew that's what I like to do. So, he did, no, he did, but. So, anyway. So we were always on the same team praying together for the Bible school. And Mike and I mean, if you've noticed, so we didn't know each other before that. We met in Germany. But we had the exact same spiritual direction. We had read the same books. We had the same themes on our heart. It was quite amazing. So we fit together. Okay, so yeah, and the Bible school was birthed. And then, as Mike said, then we taught the students to pray. And we kept just breaking through in the heavenlies, getting more people to break through. Everyone's praying. And we were able to release, really, from this Bible school. It really was a pioneer center for Germany. But we released all kinds of things into Germany. Exactly what I'm telling you. Then we just began to pray for young people. We began to pray for children's work. We had a men's conference. And everything we prayed and then maybe had a conference, it would end up all over Germany. It was like a birthing center. It released. And so, this is stuff that I'm not just studying, but I did study on prayer because it really helps to understand how to really release the spiritual weapons God's given us and everything else. And now, of course, I wanted to share also, Mike and I, the last 10 years have been back in Germany after we're 50. I always say it was 1,000 times easier when I was young to do it than when you're 50 and know so much. And gave all your strength already to start over. But we started over 10 years ago with another ministry. And it's the exact same thing to see that built too. It didn't just happen. We keep praying. We keep speaking God's word. We keep believing. We keep aiming for what God wants. And slowly it comes together. Until you really get it open and then it really, it's out, and then it really flows and moves. So, also here, you have your vision, you have your goals, and if you're all together, just speaking it into existence, believing, praying. So, we're going to look at the book of Acts and see kind of how they continued in the prayers, because it was one of their main ways that they broke through. Okay, so starting in Acts chapter 1, they began in prayer. We see that Jesus said to wait in Jerusalem, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we know that it says here, verse 14, these all continued with one accord. So with one mind, with one purpose, with one passion, with one desire, with one zeal. They had a harmony of intention. The vision was clear. They knew where they, and they were all holding on in prayer. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. The word supplication, you're going to see that a lot, is specific prayers. What you're really believing for in certain areas. Don't be afraid to be specific. Have your specifics, this group of people, what God's putting on your heart. So all kinds of prayers and worship and thanksgiving and supplication for the specific things that you're aiming at with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Okay, so then the day of Pentecost comes. So prayer, the Holy Spirit came as an answer to prayer. The more prayer, the more Spirit is going to keep flowing into the midst. Jesus said, if we ask, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, we see that. Then they continued in the prayers. They continued in worship. They continued in thanksgiving. Then, Acts 4. Mike mentioned that the other day. Here's one of the first big obstacles to that body moving forward is that they were threatened with their lives. You can't do this anymore. And we see that instead of being paralyzed by fear and saying the religious leaders say we can't do this, they didn't back down. They didn't let the enemy blockade them. They knew how Jesus taught them to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And they rose up to subdue this enemy and to go forward. So they kept moving forward and they prayed for even more word, more fire, more Holy Spirit, more miracles. And they pressed through the obstacle. And just that we all know, there will be obstacles if you're moving forward. So they didn't let that move them. They rose up and they went forward. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Remember, in your Christian life, there is no retreat. I like that old song. He sounded forth the trumpet that will never sound retreat. And Mike says that about us in our Bible school. They only taught us one direction forward. They didn't tell us how to retreat or stop. That's why we're still here. We're still going forward. And we're still believing, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue. And so we don't know retreat. We don't know it. And we haven't turned back yet. And we don't intend to. Okay, so that was Acts 4. There's a really interesting, another obstacle comes up in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." So you're going to see this was a temptation to the apostles to get more into the business administration side of the church. "Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" So, prayer and the word, prayer and preaching the word were of the vital priorities of the leadership in the early church. And prayer is so important. Mike and I always pray before we come to different things, because in prayer, you begin to see what God wants to do. In prayer, you hear, and as you're praying, you hear it. Because you're praying something and you know, oh, that's right. You get the witness. Or someone else prays it. So and I have to say, when we came to Germany, we didn't have a great vision what God wanted to do. But as we prayed, it came out, it formed, it came out, it grew. You actually hear God in the place of prayer. And you begin to see in the spirit what God has and what he wants to do. So the apostles, the leaders, I always say, you know, you can't shake these things out of your arm and just pull it out of a hat, a good message. Or just pull it out of a hat, what God wants to do in your group. You have to get it from God. So there is real spiritual preparation. So they made the choice that prayer was their priority and the ministry of the word. Because the word of God, teaching, is really important. What Shane was saying, the same thing happened to me. When I was in Bible school, I was there 2 years. I didn't think I could hear one more message. I heard everything you could hear. Because we had a guest speaker every week. We had 3 hours, 2 hours of the teachers in the school, the regular house teachers, and 1 hour guest speaker, and a different guest speaker every week. So we were going back and forth, whoa, whoa, whoa. One person saying this, the other person saying that, and you had to put it all together yourself. But I have to say, Mike and I are so grateful that we didn't just get one thread of truth, because it gave us a big dimension. We couldn't understand it all at first. How can this be so important and how can that be so important? They both sound opposite. But they are all parts of truth. So we are really thankful we went to that Bible school. But at first it was, we were always wondering, some were on this side, some were on that side. Okay, so, but the word is important. As Shane was saying, all through your life, words you hear, Truth you hear, even if you don't apply it right away, but you're opening, if you're not critical and you're receiving it, as you're going and you need it, the Holy Spirit, what he said, will bring it. The Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance, he'll say, that's that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it can be the exact thing you need to keep going on. Because you heard that word.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit keeps bringing it up.
Yeah.
Just when you need it. You remember, oh, did that person say, it'll just come. God is so I am eternally grateful that I had those 2 years. I wouldn't be here today without it. And then after I left there, I just built on that, and studied what I wanted to add to it. But the Holy Spirit is faithful. So hearing the word, and so the preachers need to preach the word.
Yeah.
Because it's the word of God, it's the truth that really sets people free. Okay, so they gave themselves to this. I just want to show you one other verse, that prayer and the word are priorities in the church, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In the early church, early Christians, prayer was a priority. And this is, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was left in, I think it was Ephesus, to develop the church that he started. And he's giving him instructions as a young minister. Paul stayed really close with Timothy. Timothy was his child in the faith, his son in the faith, and really continually received, supported, served Paul. And it says here, therefore I exhort, first of all. So first of all means this is a priority. That supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. So, Paul is telling Timothy, first of all, keep the prayer ministry in the church as a priority. So, supplication, and here you have it again. They continued in the prayers, not just one type of prayer. You can pray all kinds of ways. It's cool. We don't have to just get locked into one thing, but in supplications for the specific requests that you're really believing for, hey, and God answers. He will come through. Then prayers, intercessions, praying for other people, praying for your country, praying for big issues, and just really taking your position and believing God, and giving of thanks. I love that. Just Thanksgiving services. That's one thing in Reading and Bethel, where Mike and I were. Oh, we just loved it. All of their meetings were basically, because we even got to go to some of their staff meetings with 500 staff. And all of their meetings are worship. They always put God in the center. Even in, we went to all that we could go to. They have the seniors in the church, right? Oh, you know what they call them? They don't call them the seniors. They call them the diamonds. I thought that was the most awesome thing. Of course, diamonds is like, you know. So they were the diamonds. I knew that was going to be the senior group. And then they had, I think the guy leading it was 80, 82 and 80, his wife. They had the worship team also. The older saints, like I think the lady leading it was 60. And they had the exact same spirit in the diamonds as in the rest of the group. It wasn't like an old folks meeting. They start with worship, they praise. And then every meeting, they're very big on Thanksgiving. They open it up. What are you thankful for? What's God doing? They always say, look, we're the little things. And they're always giving testimonies because they believe if there's testimonies, that builds the faith of others and that releases more miracles. And they steward. And they do this really with intentional, that's their philosophy or their core values, Thanksgiving, sharing testimonies, saying what God's doing, because they see it as stewarding the miracles, and then it grows.
That's good.
And even in your own life, don't be discouraged. Look at the little things, even if they're little. A little bit of light, a little bit of healing. Thank God, praise God, steward that, and it grows. Don't say, oh, God's not doing nothing, or I'm not completely, it's moving.
Yeah.
Because those are, that's miracles. Some miracles are instant, but some are moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to really keep it moving by your faith and thanksgiving and being positive. And one thing about Bethel, if you want to ask us, it's very positive. Mm-hmm. Very thankful. But no matter what group you go to, from the kids that have a regular elementary school to the Diamonds, they're always worshiping. God is always there. They're always giving thanksgiving, talking about what God is doing. So thanksgiving, worship meetings, this is all types of prayers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then supplications and intercessions. But that is a priority in the early church, how they kept moving. So here was a test. The apostles could have said, oh, look at this problem. We got to work it out. And they could have said, we've got to take this in our hands. And a lot of leaders today are really more organizers than they are prayers and preachers. If you ask me, this is my own opinion, there is a lack of good preaching today. Good teaching, real in-depth evangelism that's really anointed. So you have to give yourself to the ministry of prayer and the word. Okay, now look at verse 7. So they did this. They anointed the seven men. And these seven men then grew also in their authority and learned the ways of God. And then it says, verse 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So, instead of the devil winning through division and complaining, they had the right response, and God's word continued to get the upper hand and go forward. Okay, so let's look. I'll show you one more thing in prayer that I think is amazing. Chapter 7. This is Stephen being stoned. But this is an incredible, I think. I'll just start with verse 54. This is when, after he's preached, and they're so mad, they're grinding their teeth. And he says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, and Stephen was one of the seven that were the deacons, and he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And so, so they were stoning him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I believe, and I've heard this, and I believe this is true, Paul, or Saul, who became the great apostle, was the witness to watching Stephen, the first martyr, filled with hatred, and he heard him cry with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Exactly how Jesus died when he prayed, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So he spoke forgiveness out over these people. And Saul, you know, so that was a prayer that God also answered, because Saul then was persecuting. Okay, I just want to read one more scripture that you see how they continued to advance in the early church. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. So they were all scattered, and they began to preach the gospel everywhere they went. So it went from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria.
Yes.
Yes. All things are working for good. And so then it began to spread. And it says, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Okay, so then we know that Saul was persecuting the Christians and chasing them all over. And I like it when it says, when he saw had the revelation, it said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And to me, I think Saul was so convicted seeing people like Stephen being martyred and their faith in Christ and these other people he was taking into prison and them forgiving him and loving him and just the spirit that they had, that God was working. And he couldn't really resist this spirit any longer. So, of course, he gets saved. And so now we want to come to Acts 10. Acts 10 is a major opening up of another door, of another level. See, if you keep going with God, you have your foundation here. You keep what you have in your foundation. You never forget the foundation. You don't say, "Well, that's old. Now we're going to do something new." This is something Mike and I learned, and this is something we always practice. Whatever we've received from someone and lived in, and we move forward, we don't say we're forgetting that. We say we're taking that, which is truth that we paid a price for to live in and to possess. We're not saying, "Oh, that's the old, so now we're going to the new." We say we're taking that and we add. But you don't lose that. The foundations, though, if you lose those, you can't. You paid a price, and God is continually restoring truth, not to forget what you already have.
Yes.
But to honor, and if there's anything I can say is honor the roots. Honor the people that you receive truth from. Honor the work of those that you're building on and build onto it and don't forget it.
Yes.
Because if you don't maintain that, then you'll have to get it again sometime, because that's an important... But keep moving, keep going forward, and keep adding more, and taking all you have, because there's a huge treasures in God.
Yeah.
And that's one reason Mike and I, we had to go to Bethel, because we've experienced a lot. We've got things from a lot of different places, but we said, that is fresh. They seem to have so much, we got to go get that. And really add. But we didn't leave one thing behind and say, "Well, no." So, okay. So, Acts 10. This is an incredible, for me, I hope I can help you understand this, because this really helps me. So now comes a big, major breakthrough into a next level. And what opens the door? Is prayer. Okay. So there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. So he was a Roman and Italian. But he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." How do you like that? He'd been praying for years. It was a continual habit. He was seeking God. He was devoted to God. He prayed every day. And when God needed a place to land and open another door, these prayers came up as a memorial. Now, and he said, "God has heard your prayers." This to me is so awesome, because not one prayer we pray is wasted. The prayers are gathered in bowls. The prayers go up into heaven, and sometimes it needs a lot of prayers to open some of these big doors. This was a huge turn in the whole gospel going to the rest of the world. And so the prayers were coming up, and these prayers accumulate. And that's why I think sometimes people pray and they say, "Well, it didn't work." For me, even if there wasn't the level of faith or breakthrough, those prayers are stored. Maybe someone else will pray and the thing's going to open up. We can't get discouraged. And one thing we've seen the greatest example in our lives, the whole thing about, we live in Germany, East and West Germany, the communist division and wall ran through all of Europe. We used to have Americans come over to us, take us to the wall, and they would pray. People prayed at every meal they ate for the communist countries. People went into the communist countries. They were praying from their side. They were getting freer from the fears of that control system. And faith was arising. It took years. Germany, in the meantime, we were in so many repentance prayers. Germany, I have to say, the Christians in Germany repented more deeply and thorough than anyone I've ever seen. They made restitution. And then, 1989, the wall fell without any bloodshed. And in Germany, we took that, and the Christians, we believe that was God's sign that he had forgiven them and restored their country. It was a miracle. They just celebrated, what was it, 25 years or whatever? Yeah. It was, and people still today can't believe without bloodshed that that communist system, stronghold, demonic powers were broken. But it wasn't just a minute. I believe the prayers were going up from all over, and when there was enough, or when enough faith and everyone was strong enough, came down. So that's why, even we're praying for revival, we might think, well, I don't see it. Hold on. Those prayers do not get wasted. And there will be justice, and there will be judgment on evil. And when Jesus comes, and that's why I personally believe the greatest worship and prayer movement, you know, the 24-hour prayer and the houses of prayer, there's a greater worship and prayer movement on the earth today than ever before. Well, what for? I believe the greatest harvest and the return of Christ, where all of the demon powers will be judged and defeated and fall off their thrones. And prayers are releasing that. And if I think once we see the big picture, it helps us to keep on believing, praying, speaking, proclaiming the Lordship of Christ and not getting tired. It's like, whoa, we're bringing down incredible powers. What about in England, all the shakings and things that are exposed? I think that's also answers to prayers in the church rising up. Judgment of evil. And digging up these things, you know. Be encouraged. Keep on shouting. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on proclaiming. I'm going to keep on shouting. I'm going to continue in the faith and in prayers and in worship and in singing. And in the word, and in loving, and in giving. It's a lifestyle, it's a culture, but it's working. It's not in vain, it's not nothing, it's not powerless. It's doing incredible breakthroughs, even in the Muslim countries. I know in Germany, I'm sure they have it in England, but I don't know all that goes on in England, but they have so many of these 40 days prayer and fasting for the Muslim world. They have all of these prayers going up for these countries for years now. Well, we see what's going on over there, but yet in the underground, there's so many people getting saved in those nations. And even with all of the terrorism coming up, some of them are seeing what their religion is really like and so open because they don't want that. There's all kinds of things going on. So we need to really see behind the scenes and see. And so this is how they went forward. So back to Acts 10. Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. And so God said, send for Peter. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. When he was hungry, he wanted to eat, he fell into a trance. So God called him to go with this man who was a Gentile. He needed a special vision because the Jews don't go into the homes of Gentiles, and the Jews would never eat with them. And so God had to get Peter ready. And the Spirit said, go with him and don't doubt anything, for I have sent him. So he went. So verse 24, the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So Peter came in. He still didn't know why he was there. So Cornelius said in verse 30, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. So then send for Peter. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Okay, so here comes Peter into this situation prepared by God. Prayers had opened up. He called these people together. Isn't this incredible? And this is going on the earth all over today. God is moving supernaturally. It's absolutely incredible. So Peter preaches. I'm just going to read one or two things. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's what they preached. He is Lord of all. And Jesus Christ was anointed. God raised him. Hey, the early church preached the resurrection. God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly. And he commanded us to testify that he was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Okay, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, just as they had done in the beginning. So this is the next major breakthrough, where the gospel, then the door is open to the nations. And I was in Israel on that roof in Jaffa where Simon the Tanner and prayed there with a group. Okay, but anyway, that was where the door was open to the Gentiles. God found a man. The prayers had come up as a memorial. So when the Holy Spirit wants to land, you know, Jesus said, everyone who knocks, the doors are opened.
Yeah.
So don't be tired of knocking, believing for the young people, the children, what you're planning to see here. Speak it out. Pray it and then act in faith for what God shows you how to do it. But in prayer, God will prepare the way that when you go, something's birthed. Something is really ready to come forth. Okay, so I love that story because it shows how the prayers do accumulate before God, and it releases God's power on the earth. And sometimes it takes a little while, but that releases incredible breakthroughs. Okay, Acts 12, next big obstacle. So you see, prayer really does keep you moving forward. If be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Acts 12, Herod the king stretched out his hand to arrest some from the church. He killed James, the brother of John, and they took Peter and arrested him. Okay, so verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So, constant prayer was prayed to God by the church for Peter. So they were interceding for Peter. They were praying. They must have woke up. So the danger, James had been killed. Peter was one of their main leaders, and they're interceding. And the night Peter was supposed to be brought, the night before, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers and guards before the door. Okay, you know the story. An angel of the Lord stood by him. A light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side, raised him up. Rise up quickly. His chains fell off. Gird yourself. Then it says in verse 10, when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed. So Peter said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So prayers open prison doors, open iron gates, release angelic activities, and bring deliverance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So our prayers for the persecuted church have power. And we have, actually, he was a former student, but he led a big work in Afghanistan. And he was actually arrested with 8 other missionaries. I don't know if you heard of it. It was about maybe 10 years ago or so, or 2001. And they were in prison in Afghanistan. And the same thing happened. Prayer was made round the clock from many of the churches, from these missionaries, and from all over. They called prayer meetings around the clock. And they also, after months in prison, were delivered. The Americans somehow flew in and had, and they were all delivered. But there was also round-the-clock prayer for these missionaries who had been imprisoned. So, God is working. But I love that. The prison doors and the iron gates that lead into the city swung open. I love that that song, that God is going to open iron gates before us. So prayer is where the action is. It's fun. Okay. So then Peter comes back, and they were so busy praying they couldn't believe that it happened. And look at the result. Oh, I wanted to show you this result, verse 20. So Peter set free, but not only does the church continue to go forward, but Herod, who is a great obstacle to Christians, is judged. So prayer also releases judgment. He was like the leader, the king, an evil persecutor of the church. And it says, now Herod, okay, I'll just read the last part. In verse 23, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God, glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. And verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. And you see, every time something came up to stop them, they pressed in. And the word of God continued to grow, and they overcame the obstacles. Jesus said, you'll receive power. It was through preaching, through the community, through prayers, and they continued. Okay, chapter 13. So now there was a church in Antioch. There were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, who was an African, Lucius of Cyrene, I think he was the son of, what's the name of the man that carried the cross of Jesus? Simon of Cyrene, that was his son, right? Okay, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, so he was a Roman, and Saul. So it was a mixed leadership. And they were prophets and teachers. There were different nationalities there. There were some Jewish and some not Jewish. This is awesome. And I just want to say one other point. This is also one of the revival culture at Bethel. They have really a multiple leadership with different giftings, different people in leadership, which makes it so rich. And one other point about that, the three main leader couples, they were together for 30 years before things really took off there. So they didn't just happen in a moment. They were all Bill Johnson and then Chris Vollaton and Danny Silk. Bill Johnson was the pastor, but these other people were in the church. They grew together for 30 years, and then God sent them to Bethel. And that was the church that Bill Johnson's father pastored. So they had developed this culture. They had developed their ministry. But all of the things that are moving there was not something that just happened like that. That's why, don't get impatient. Hold on. And then they're like the foundation of this movement with all kinds of young people in ministry springing up. Okay. So here's the five different leaders, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Okay, this is also really cool. The leaders were ministering to the Lord. That word ministering is the word as they were taking their service as priests. They were probably worshiping, and they were probably just waiting on God, open to God, letting God speak, letting God. I said, in prayer is where you begin to hear what God wants to do and see what's important. And so they're ministering to the Lord. They probably had time together, and the Holy Spirit spoke. And here, he calls Barnabas and Saul. And here's the first mission expedition of Barnabas and Saul. Sent out, really, to go forward to new territories. So from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, now it's going to go to Asia, and it's going to make a turn to Europe, and it's going to get all the way to Rome by the book of Acts by the end of the earth, the capital city of the world in that time. And that was in the book of Acts is 38 years in one generation. With no computers, no internet. just these men full of the Holy Ghost preaching the word. And the beginning is going back to the end. No, the end is going back to the beginning. Okay. So, they being sent out, they went out and they set out and they began to take the gospel first into Asia. Then it made a turn towards, God called Paul to go towards the west and not to the east on the second missionary journey. And it starts to go to Philippians and Thessalonians, which is in Greece. And the gospel, God and the Holy Spirit is the one directing which way to go. So it turns then. They wanted to go east, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them, and he turned it west. Quite amazing. And so it comes then to Greece, and I just wanted to read, and in Philippi, and they always have a strategic place where they're, where the Holy Spirit helps them, or where they decide to start preaching for a region. And, of course, in Philippi, that was their first place in Europe, going into Europe. And they were also blocked and thrown into jail and tried to be stopped. In verse 25, you all know this one. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Okay, so they were thrown into prison. They were going to be stopped from preaching. And I love this because it said at midnight, the darkest hour, they're bleeding, they're in chains, they're in prison. But at midnight, they begin to praise and to pray. Yeah. Now, they had to be trained in that, to have that as their response. Yeah. That was their lifestyle, praise and prayer. Yeah. So they just continued. I could just hear them singing. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. And they're just beginning to worship, and Jesus is Lord of all. Yeah. And they're singing, they're worshiping, they're praying. Isn't that incredible? Well, that was their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they're having this service, and they must have really prayed themselves up into God's presence.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the whole prison shakes, and all the chains and all the doors are opened. And oh my goodness, I like that for the end time. At the darkest moment, the church will start to praise and pray. And we're trusting that all, there'll be an earthquake.
Yeah.
Last night we had that. There's going to be shakings. So don't be afraid when it starts to shake. That's answer to our prayers, because the prisoners will be loosed from demonic powers. And I have to say, when we were praying last night, when Faye was praying, I was also seeing there's going to be shakings. And then I saw the people here and the church like firefighters, like going to the rescue when things start to get really tough, and who knows what kind of shakings, that we are ready. And it was like firemen just going and rescuing people, bringing them into the church. And like, I don't know how God's going to work it all out, but get ready for the harvest and get ready for the souls and get ready for what you're praying, because it's going to come.
Yeah. Yes.
Similar to Jericho, they marched around seven times. And the last time, seven times. They kept marching in faith, marching in faith, marching in faith. Next day, seven times, blowing horns, which is proclaiming God's word. And after the 13th time, another. And all the walls fell down flat. And they just had to go straight in front of them. Things will happen. Prayer is powerful. Faith releases, opens heavens, open prison doors. Okay, so they were delivered from that prison so they could keep going further. They were let out of the prison. They went to the next place, the next place. They just kept moving on. Then they go to Ephesus, which is Turkey. And then Paul is there for 3 years in Ephesus. And actually, the book of Ephesians has more truth and revelation than most, I would say, any book in the New Testament. He wrote this to the Ephesians. He was there 3 years in a Bible school, the Apostle Paul. And then and that was a regional center. They came from all the other towns, and then the people that he was teaching went all over, and the gospel spread to the whole region. And so after that, and then it says in Acts 19, verse 20, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And I like the next verse. So it just kept going. They just kept going. Yeah. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. They just kept going. And then it says, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. Listen to that. Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And then the rest of the story is the huge storm that tried to keep Paul out of Rome. Actually took him 2 years to get there, but he goes as a prisoner, but he gets there. See, the enemy will block, but you still get there, one way or another. He wasn't expecting it to be that way, but actually it worked for good, because when he came to Rome, the whole city knew why he was a prisoner. The Christian cause. He got to preach to all of these emperors. He got to preach to all of the leaders of the city. It became like a platform. And it says in the book of Philippians that many from the Kaiser's house were saved. So he got right into the center of Rome and preached the gospel, and probably was praying day and night because he was there for 2 years in chains. So they were unstoppable. And the early church, they had the four pillars: fellowship, community, unity, leadership, plural leadership with many gifts in it. And continuing in the prayers. So, I hope that was helpful.
Yeah.
Because prayer wins victory over the evil powers in the invisible realm. Prayer just keeps things moving. And that's what we're actually created to do. Fill the earth with the kingdom. We're blessed to do that with God. And don't think this is too hard or takes too much effort. Actually, what you're doing, every worship song, every prayer, lifting up Christ to the highest place, every prayer you're praying, not one of them does not have power. They're working.
Yes.
They work.
Yes.
The effectual prayer of a righteous man is continually releasing more power.
Yeah.
And I think that's one reason they continued, because these are mighty bulwarks. It's like each prayer is a hammer. You don't know when the suddenly is going to happen. But God takes a long time to get the suddenlies. And suddenly it happens.
That's right.
And we think, wow!
Yeah.
But there may have been a lot of work in the meantime before the suddenly.
Yeah.
But it will happen.
Yeah.
And there's going to be the greatest takeover of power when Jesus comes back. And the worship and prayer that's going up today is absolutely incredible. I don't know about in England, but I'm sure. But in Germany, there's prayer houses springing up all over. In the town where I go, they have it 24/7. And almost all the hours are filled up for the whole. Of course, they've been doing it for 10 years. Continually worshiping, praying. All the different churches. And so, we're expecting the glory of God in the midst of the shakings in our day.
Yeah.
and to see the kingdom advance. And look how far it's come. And it's, I mean, the nations are being reaped, and it's going to go back and end up in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
With that nation also being saved. And Jesus coming back and everything else, praise God. Woo! What an adventure. So, praise God. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to wrap this up. We're going to play you another track from this new CD. We say the same thing every time we come, but we try to say it a little different, you know. But we're going to play this track from the Ephesians CD, and it's on Ephesians 6 on the army. Okay, so yeah, it'll be out on iTunes in the English language, hopefully by Christmas. So we'll send an email and let you know when it's there, okay? So.